During my college years, there was a group called Buffalo Springfield that recorded what became an anthem for my generation. Written by Stephen Stills in 1967, it is entitled For What It's Worth. And thanks to Nathan, you're going to hear the melody. And here are the memorable lyrics. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. You step out of line, the man comes and takes you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. You step out of line, the man comes and takes you away. And there's a man with a gun over there. So fear and disdain often lead to violence. What was true in the 60s still seems true. Beneath the paranoia and the violence is an underlying contempt and disdain for others, especially those unlike ourselves, birds of a different feather. As Psalm 123 says so marvelously, we have had more than enough of contempt. Jesus once told a parable about this corrosive attitude toward others. Our gospel reading begins like this. He also told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. And in this case, it was a Pharisee who enters the temple to pray. He stands alone, lifting up his hands in a pious gesture. Then this religious leader spots a tax collector and exclaims, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even like this tax collector." He peers down imperiously upon those that he thinks are beneath contempt. Now, this is not "there but for the grace of God go I." No, no, no. This is a self-congratulatory observation about how very fortunate God is to have him as a supporter. And this so-called prayer moves into a recitation of one's righteous deeds. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income. The Pharisee trumpets his commitment that goes well beyond what other Jews might do. Now, in the medieval world, against which the early reformers protested, this was called merit, a leg up on others in the race for salvation. The reformers called it simply salvation by works. Now we would say he scored in the top one percentile of the ACT. Certainly he perched high above the tax collector who finishes in the bottom one percentile, or so he thought. Now the tax collector knows he is a bottom feeder. He knows what others feel about him. And he knows deep in his heart that he feels the same way about himself. And most importantly, he knows that God disapproves of him as well. So he stands far off in the corner of the temple reserved for those sporting a scarlet letter. He does not even raise his head to look to heaven. Rather, he beats himself in repentance and he prays only these words: God be merciful to me, a sinner. These are echoes of that famous prayer in Psalm 21. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. It is like the prayer we sing every Sunday morning, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. It's at the heart of the Russian Orthodox spirituality, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then Jesus offers an astonishing assessment of this tax collector praying in the temple. I tell you, that man went home justified rather than the others. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The tax collector, that bottom feeder, returns home a forgiven sinner, grace abounding. Meanwhile, the Pharisee returns from the temple just as he came, proud of his righteousness, disdainful of others, and pleased that God counts him as an ally, but not forgiven. That was not something he even asked for. So he goes home exactly as he came, smug and self-satisfied, alienated from God and alienated from others. Jesus in Matthew 18 reminds us that in the church, in the body of Christ, we should never have disdain for those who appear to be below us. Jesus says these memorable words: take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, the angels perpetually see the face of God in heaven. Even the little ones have what appear to be guardian angels, if you will, who behold the face of God world without end. And these little ones are in fact dearly beloved by God and their guardian angels. They are never to be scorned in any way whatsoever. Never. Thus Jesus calls us to the way of a penitent who chose not even to look to heaven, but only beats one's breast with these words: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Repentance, confession, humility, with not a trace of disdain or contempt for others, with no effort to compare one's own piety with someone else's, because we all know deep in our hearts that we really are in this together. Sinners, all of us, saved by grace alone, all of us, loved by God, every single one of us, redeemed by Christ our Lord, all of us. I have often thought that we should change the name of every church so that we at least had the same title out in front of our buildings. And here's what it should be: a church for sinners. That's all. And with this little P.S. underneath it, the self-righteous need not apply. Okay, that's over the top, I know. But now, last summer in our adult Christian education, we studied the Belhar Confession, which is part of our Confession of Faith. Written in the 1980s while apartheid ruled in South Africa, it was a plea from the non-white Reformed Church to the white Reformed Church, our cousins in the Presbyterian family. The plea was for these Christians in the same denomination to move beyond racism and share equally as sisters and brothers at the table of our Lord. It was the oppressed calling for reconciliation with the oppressor. It was a plea from the bottom to the top. Now, what's remarkable about this document is that it does not come off as a strident judgment of one group against another. Rather, it acknowledges what we all know, that racism emanates in all directions from almost every group. Listen to the tone of this plea. We plead for reconciliation, that true reconciliation that follows on conversion and change of attitudes and structures. And while we do so, we are aware that an act of confession is a two-edged sword, that none of us can throw the first stone, and none of us is without a beam in our own eyes. We know that the attitudes and conduct that work against the gospel are present in all of us and will continue to be so. Therefore, this confession calls for a continuous process of soul searching together, a joint wrestling with the issues, and a readiness to repent in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a powerful model of what it means to move beyond contempt and disdain to seek reconciliation between conflicted groups. Do you think it has relevance for our times? It does not cast the first stone. It acknowledges the beam in our own eyes. It invites mutual repentance and then dialogue in an age of disdain and contempt. And it demonstrates that deeply divided people can find common ground in mutual respect and mutual forgiveness. But only if we see ourselves first as needing God's grace and mercy every bit as much as our estranged opponents. To see ourselves as fellow supplicants, forgiven sinners gathering around the cross of Christ, all bowing the knee, all equidistant from the cross, none closer, none farther away. Friends in Christ, that is how the Reformed Church in South Africa began to heal from the scourge of apartheid, by simply praying together, God, have mercy on all of us, for we are sinners. Now, I began with a song that meant much to me in college, and I end with a hymn that many of us have sung all our lives. It asks that we have disdain only for one thing, our own arrogance. It is a plea to end all contempt for others, and it is a hymn that calls us to bow together in penitence before the cross. You know this hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride." Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.